welcome to another ESFFL preseason podcast for 2016. Now, this is the first preseason podcast for 2016 where alcohol hasn't been involved, I might add that. So hopefully we can still be funny even without alcohol. I don't know. But let me tell you, the ESFFL kickoff email went out a couple days ago. We're all getting ready for a new season. I know we are still in the middle of Tour de France fantasy season. That has a lot of us excited. But the new fantasy football season is just around the corner, and what better way to prepare for the season than with a podcast? Today I'm lucky enough to have two very special guests with me. First of all, we have James Whalen of the Northeast River Routes. Welcome, James.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be here. I will admit, though, I was not informed of this no alcohol policy that we're engaging in today.
Well, there is a couple beers in my fridge if you want to go grab one right now. It's just outside the podcast studio.
A little Irish coffee this morning or whatever, but I think we'll carry on.
All right. Well, our second guest, now I got to tell you, the reason why you're blindfolded is the second guest is a mystery guest. Now, this is the person who simulated the ESFFL experience last season by selecting a team of their own based on the ESFFL rules, of course. They then pseudo-completed playing a full schedule. They played the schedule that the Bear Buffenuff played, and they actually went a very respectable 9-4 during the regular season. Now, James, once again, you are blindfolded here, as I'm going to make you guess who our mystery guest is. And before I reveal them to you and the rest of the league, and before I give you any hints here, can you tell me, do you have a guess off the bat as to whom the mystery guest is?
I do. This person is my personal hero, John Madden.
No, it's not John Madden. Okay. No, okay. He has better things to do than simulate our league, that's for sure.
Okay. I believe my second guess would be the Wallabies owner, Jackie Kovach.
That's very good. How did you get that right off the bat?
Well, Jeff, when I was blindfolded and driving to work today, which was actually a very challenging thing, I had a lot of time to focus on other things than driving, and I was able to come up with, I believe, who the mystery guest is, but again, I'm sitting in the corner in a booth with a blindfold on, so I'm not sure.
Well, that's fortunate for you, both that you guessed who the mystery guest is and that you actually made it here today. So congratulations. And yes, welcome, Jackie Kovach.
Hi, you are the mystery guest. Excited to be here today.
Welcome to your first ESFFL podcast. By the way, how did you enjoy the simulation last season?
So I really enjoyed it last season. It was my first time involved with the fantasy football league before, so it was a great opportunity for me to test out my, you know, football knowledge and skills, and there wasn't that much pressure associated with it other than, you know, some slight embarrassment and, you know, hearing some of the other podcasts and
the interesting
things.
Thing was you knew who you were playing every week,
yes,
but they didn't know who you were.
Yeah.
So there was like a no-pressure situation.
Yeah. It was pretty sneaky, too, because it was kind of funny to hear the other people's comments and being like, oh, I lost that game or something. And then I knew behind the scenes that,
you were winning the whole time.
Yeah.
So, of course, now you know that the real thing is better than a simulation, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, I should say we're excited because you have placed a deposit for the 2016 season. You're on the wait list. But I did tell you, you know, earlier on that that deposit is fully refundable. So for the record, are you willing now to make a decision? Are the Wyomissing Wallabies in for the 2016 season?
Yep, all in.
All right, that's what I was hoping to hear. Otherwise, this podcast would probably be pretty boring, right? I got to say, I'm glad that you've chosen to compete in the ESFFL proper. Now, you were, as I mentioned, on the waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get in, you needed two teams to drop. And I think we did talk the other day that that the Alapocas Alpacas have dropped out. So as of this morning, we needed one more team to drop out. And we knew that Dan Schulkitis, who's moving to Germany, he's the owner of the Kemblesville Express, was kind of on the fence as to whether he was going to remain in the league or not. But I can now officially say that he has decided to drop out of the league, so the Wallabies are in the league. Congratulations.
Happy day. Oh, happy day.
Wow. Wow.
Beware.
All right. So moving on, James, before we take this discussion any further with Jackie. We have a controversy that we need to discuss. This controversy remaining from last season that involved the Wallabies. And the situation I'm referring to, perhaps you remember, it occurred in week two of last season. You played the Wallabies in one of her simulated games. Now, this was all unbeknownst to you. You didn't know this was going on.
Yes, yes.
Until we had the podcast the next week, going into week three. And I revealed to you that that prior week, even though in the standard ESFFL you won both your games, it was doubleheader week, that you had also played this team that was simulating the league and had, in fact, lost that game. And you responded to that by saying, and I quote, "The River Rats' focus is not to beat everyone at home eating popcorn and potato chips." Thus, of course, implying that our friend here, Jackie, fills up on popcorn and potato chips and perhaps isn't as health conscious as you think you should, as you think she should be. So would you like to defend these accusations?
No.
All right, because I have plenty more accusations to talk about.
No. So I could tell you, sitting here in the ESFFL headquarters, I cannot see Jackie, but I have seen her before, and if she is eating popcorn and potato chips, it is not hurting her in any way like it has been hurting me. All I have to say on those accusations. Let's move on to other...
Is there a reason you chose popcorn and potato chips? Because I love popcorn and potato chips as much as the next person, but you could have picked maybe something a little bit more relevant to football, like buffalo chicken dip or chili or...
Yeah, I think celery and ranch dip just doesn't have the same impact that popcorn and potato chips had, I guess.
So Jackie, tell us, what do you eat when you are watching your football games?
Buffalo chicken dip, chili, chips and salsa. Okay. Yeah, not
so
the popcorn.
James got it all wrong once again.
Once again.
All right, now there is another controversy here.
Oh, here we go.
That emanated from that podcast.
Oh, wow.
And when I mentioned that you had lost to this team, I did mention it was owned by a woman. And you quickly jumped to the conclusion that I was implying that women aren't as good at fantasy football as men are. So what was that all about?
Yeah, what was that?
That's not at all what I was saying. We've really got carried away with these implications, I think. I would actually say that women are probably equally as good at fantasy football if they
put their effort forth
or whatever. That being said, I'm going to smash Jackie this year or whatever. So
well, this season the proof will be in the pudding, right?
Yes, exactly. Right. We're gonna answer all these questions here coming
there
up.
There was no pressure on Jackie last year. This year she's got the pressure of all womankind on her back to lay down the foundations of a good season.
It reminds me of Days of Thunder, where Tom Cruise comes out and he makes a real fast lap, and then Rowdy tells him, "Well, let's see how you do in a pack or whatever, you know." So we'll see how Jackie does when she's out in the pack.
All right, the pressure's on, Jackie.
Okay.
All bets are off.
All bets are off. You're defending all women, I think, the way this has been set up or whatever, somehow.
So, you know, because we want you to be successful, Jackie, I think we got to get into the well, we don't know what division you're going to be playing in yet. If you're in my division, I don't want you to be successful.
But if you're beating other people, that helps us. That's what we need.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So, but you know, I took a little look at your roster from last year, refreshed my memory, and wanted to give you maybe a little advice. And one interesting situation from last year was that you had Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens on your roster, and this is perhaps another little controversial point, because I think the feeling among those of us that you were talking with was that you didn't choose him solely based on his talents as a football player, perhaps. And I know it wasn't because he had a favorable salary. He was a high-salaried player. I think it was perhaps that you were a bit smitten by the good looks of one Justin Tucker, weren't you?
Well, not necessarily. So I actually chose him... I've been a fan of Justin Tucker for many years now, but I actually chose him because of his personality and traits. So I don't know if many people know this, but he's also an opera singer. He can sing in 7 different languages. That's pretty impressive. And was a walk-on kicker at the University of Texas. So that shows that he has both determination, he's very skilled, he's well-rounded. So that is why I chose him on my team.
Jeff, I want to go back to this women being as good at men at fantasy football and maybe change my answer based on the comments that were made right there. I will not be picking anyone on looks, opera singing ability, their charitable donations over the course of the year.
Unless, of course, we add cheerleaders to the fantasy roster, right? Yes. Then that perhaps might change.
Then I will solely base things on looks, but still will not care about opera singing or charitable donations.
But Justin Tucker is a great football player as well, so that's just added on benefits that he's a great person, too.
He is an excellent kicker, but we try to balance salary against performance. There's some kind of golden ratio there, if you will.
All right, let's not teach her too much. So for those of you who don't know, a couple situations here. Jackie is an alumna of Clemson University, and that, of course, is an institution that has produced a lot of great NFL football players. Of course, the greatest ever being Brian Dawkins, of course, no argument about that. But in recent years, of course, Clemson has become known for the wide receivers they've produced, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant, and, of course, the purse dog loving DeAndre Hopkins. Jackie, first of all, I ask, do you think Martavis is ever going to get himself off the cannabis? He's suspended for the whole season, by the way.
No comment.
No comment?
Wow, I'll tell you what, we're not pulling any punches in the ESFFL studio today.
Well, I'm looking for some inside information there, because if he can get himself...
Jackie, have you smoked
no
cannabis
comment.
With Martavis?
If he can get himself to the place where he could actually get on the field and out of rehab, he's a darn good player.
Yes.
Good player.
I'll tell you what. Maybe Martavis is eating popcorn and potato chips right now. I think there's a high probability.
All right, let's move on to Sammy Watkins, because I think you have a Sammy Watkins story I remember you telling one time.
So no stories about Sammy Watkins, but I actually do have one.
I guess I got that wrong. Wait a minute.
What happened?
You have a story about somebody.
I have a story about DeAndre.
We're going to fire about 10 researchers after this podcast. I'm telling you that right now.
So... about DeAndre, one day I was returning to my apartment complex in Clemson from a run, and I spotted two guys throwing a football around, and I walked by saying something of the sort that I could throw a better spiral than they could, which I can throw a football pretty well. So then we got to talking, and I said how frequently I run, and the one guy said that he runs a lot. I'm telling you, he said he ran like 10 miles plus a day. So he said I should have his number so that I could call him the next time I ran and we could run together. So I'm typing in his phone number, and then I asked him for his name to put in the contact information. And he started with his first name saying DeAndre. So I'm typing and I'm, you know, slowly starting to sweat a little bit more, like, oh my gosh, I think I know who this is. And then he gives me his last name, Hopkins. And then by this time I was freaking out inside. I tried not to, like, make too big of a deal about it, but... Then he was telling me how he was hanging out with Tom Brady the other weekend because he was visiting the Patriots. It was just a really cool interaction.
This was right before the draft, I guess.
Yes, it was, yeah. So it was a pretty cool experience to get to meet him in like a low-key kind of way.
So he gave you his phone number?
He did, yes.
And you still have it in your phone?
Maybe.
So we could call.
No.
I think we need to call. Let me see this number. Here, you gotta do your screensaver.
I think is that a bulldog in a child's
that's,
ring?
That's not a dog that DeAndre Hopkins would ever purchase. He's only into Yorkies and things that could fit in his man purse.
Jeff, I think this is a good place to highlight the fact that it is an effective way to hand your phone number out by telling women that you are a professional football player or whatever. I've attempted this a few times in the past myself with some positive results.
Perhaps his physique was part of the story selling.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
All right, DeAndre Hopkins, we got his phone number here. Let's go ahead and give him a call. And we don't have put it on speaker.
You've received this message in error. Please hang up and try your call again later.
Oh, boy.
Message CA1.
I think DeAndre gave you a bad number there, Jackie.
Oh, my God.
He gave you a bad number there.
Wow.
All right. Well, listen, guys. That was a great story, by the way, Jackie. But we're almost out of time here. Before we wrap up, we are getting ready for the regular season. And, of course, predictions are always part of the podcast when we get to the regular season. So I'm going to ask you here quickly to predict what your final regular season record will be this season. Now, keep in mind, would be playing an abbreviated 11-game regular season this year. So is any are either of you going to go out on a limb and predict a perfect 11-0? What do you think?
I'll go out on a limb and predict that no one gets a perfect 11-0 in this league. I don't think that's a bold statement, even though I've made many bold statements on the air here.
Now, no one has ever had a perfect record in the ESFFL in the regular season, but we've always played 13 games, so two fewer games, maybe. But for your teams, what do you say, Jackie?
Okay, I would say I'm being optimistic and realizing that it won't be perfect, and there's going to be a lot of fun players on my team. And you can't take notes about how to choose the other players, you know what I'm saying? Like personality and traits. But I'm going to say that we're going to go 8-3.
8-3, that's very optimistic. That's playoffs.
I'll tell you right now.
Playoffs?
So I would put even money Jackie goes 3-8 or whatever, but that would just...
Wow! Right.
This is on record.
Were we supposed to make predictions about our own team? I think the River... So... barring the first season in the league, the majestic, regal Northeast River Rats have made it to the playoffs the last 2 years. I believe this, again, is another team that will be playoff bound, and it's all kind of a crapshoot after that.
So record?
Record. I think 8-3. I think the River Rats can actually go 8-3, unlike the bold predictions of other people in the league.
All right, we got two teams here that think they're going to the playoffs. We got about another, 2 months until we get to the regular season, and we'll see you then. Until then, you've listened to this podcast in its entirety.